Now, you're looking out at the moment from your window, and what can you see?
I'm just looking out the window now, the side window here in our sitting room, and the back of the house, the back of Dave's house, is still pretty lit up. They have all his lights on and stuff. The boat is uncovered at the minute. I can still see all the flag markers where the bullet holes were and stuff, because when we landed home yesterday evening, the FBI were all at the back of our house, because when they shot at the boat, all the bullets, they said, went through the boat, went through our fence, and then kept going up into the next door neighbors and up further up the street. So yesterday afternoon, that's what they were all doing. Like, they were up, like, marking all the bullets, and they had all, like, the laser stuff, the lasers out, shining all the lasers back in towards the boat from where all the bullets ended up. And it was just like the scene out of CSI or something. Like, it's hard to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Not quite what you expected when you moved in recently.
No, not quite what I expected. It's one of the quietest streets in modern times, to tell you the truth. But I guess you should never do know.
And your neighbour, what has he been saying to you since you said you had a conversation with him recently?
Yeah, we met him for the first time since it all happened last night. Dave is apologising to us. He says he's sorry for bringing all this upon us. I'm like, Dave, man, it's like you're a legend. I guess don't be apologising to anybody.
Correct.
But yeah, he's pretty shook up too. Like, he wasn't, last night was his first night back in the house also.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really, I told him I'll be able to talk to him this evening, like, but I haven't really had a good chance to sit down and chat to him, but I will now over the next few days.
And what's it been like in terms of media attention?
It's ridiculous now, to tell you the truth. They're all over the street. Like, once you go outside the barricades at the top of the road and down around the corner, their cameras set up there, the TV cameras are all still there 24/7. Like, and you just have people just like from all over, I don't know, people from all over the area are just coming and just standing just right up where the police have their tape up, and they're just standing looking around the corner. Like,
yeah.
Because last night when we got home, we took our son for a walk, and just the people were just parking up their cars and coming walking down the street to see what you could see there. So, as I said to one of the guys outside, one of the police officers last night, I said, it's like, what's going to happen when you guys all leave? I said, there's going to be hundreds of people just coming walking to see, to take a look at the area where the guy was found. So, one of the guys did say last night that they're going to have to do something about that. Like, they can't, they're not going to have, like, hundreds of people just pile into the area, like, once they leave. So, it'll be interesting to see now what they actually do there.
You are going to be tormented, I'd imagine, for a while with people.
I know, I think it's going to be ridiculous, like, so, I don't know. We're just going to have to say we're just not going to be talking to anybody, like, because you can imagine, like, there's going to be every news station, every news channel is going to be hanging out the front door. Like.
Yeah, but even just people turning up, as you say, to have a look.
That was it, that's what we couldn't believe last night, as we were coming back from the walk with our son. Like, I said to Laurie, I said, look, there's more people there now, there's a parking up their bloody car and they're walking down our street for no reason. And it's like, they just walked down as far as they could and they just stand there then taking pictures. Like, they couldn't really see the house, but they're still taking pictures of it.
Mm.
With their cameras and stuff like that.
Your uncle is Councillor Noel McBride.
Yes.
He's right on the line. Good morning, Noel.
Morning, Sean. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Noel. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you today?
I'm not too bad now. We're going to try and get things back to normal here as much as we can. So,
Brendan, when we were talking to one another on Friday night at about 9 o'clock, little did we know what was unfolding beside you.
No, I did not.
Just having a conversation. But I suppose, Brendan, to be honest with you, your mum and dad, Anne and Garvin, all the McBride family and your granny were very, very shocked and very apprehensive about the whole thing, but delighted there was such a good outcome for yourself and Laurie and Garvin there, you know.
Yeah, I know, yeah, sure. It went a lot of different ways, man.
There was a lot of anxiety around Kerrygart and Mulford for a few hours on Saturday until it was all over.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the same here. It's just a scary situation, man.
And Brendan, I mean, there was always the fear, wasn't there, that this guy would take a family hostage?
First thing I thought when I walked out the door was this guy's going to blow himself up. once he knew he was cornered, like, because they didn't know if he had a bomb, they didn't know if he had a vest, one of them a suicide vest or what. Like, so that's why I said, like, once we got the word to go, like, we weren't hanging around, like, we ran.
Well, big relief, Councillor McBride, for the whole family, anyway.
Oh, huge relief, Sean. Like, it was very traumatic for, I suppose, Anne and Garvin, Brendan's father and mother, and I'm sure Laurie's father and mother there in America, and indeed for all the McBride family around Donegal and Sligo. We just didn't know what way to think. We didn't know what way to turn for a while, and we're just watching it on television and, I suppose, different media reports on it and so on. But it was for a while we just didn't know what to think. And as you said there, you know, that man could have taken a family hostage if he had gone into Brendan's house, or, you know, God only knows what the outcome would have been, you know. But thanks be to the good God, everything has worked out for Brendan and Laurie and Garvin there, and for, I suppose, all of the Irish in Boston, because I'm sure for a good number of them it was a traumatic time being locked down and closed into their homes. And I suppose while I was mayor of Donegal back in November 2011, I visited Boston and I met a good number of Irish and in particular Donegal people living there. And, you know, they're all a very close-knit community, and they all work together and support one another. And, you know, to think that was actually happening in Boston, this lovely city, beautiful city, and, you know, for Brendan and Laurie and Garvin to think that it was so close to home, it was a terrible shock, you know.
Okay, Councillor McBride, thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Good luck, Brendan, for the future.
Talk
to you soon. Talk to you soon, Brendan.
Well, Brendan, I'll let you go. Very good of you, as I say, to talk to us. I know it's early in the morning, and
no problem.
Wish you well with your wife, Laurie, and your little baby. He's only 9 months, isn't he?
Correct, yeah. He's 9 months there just last week.
Well, you'll be able to tell him about this one day, and
I know, yeah. You know, he has a good story. He'll have a good story to tell him someday as well.
The main thing is you're safe and well. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.